Sunday the 4th of June 2017, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Stories We Love. Sermon title, Pentecost. Bible reading, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Talk by Neil Wellesby.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Acts 2, and I'll be reading from verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine to drink. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What's been the most life-changing event in your life so far? Was it when you became a Christian and entered into the life-changing relationship with Jesus? Was it when you were married and ceased to be single? Was it when your first child was born? Was it when you suffered a serious accident or illness? Was it when you lost a loved one? The event we're looking at today is one of those mind-bending events, which is life-changing. Not just for those who are involved in it, but as we shall see, for everybody else since. In Acts 1, Jesus gave his disciples a commandment. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift the Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. So, as David read to us from Acts chapter 2, they were all together in one place. Nobody had run away. They were all waiting. They were all waiting for that event. But what was the event? The event was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it happened 50 days after Pentecost. Sorry, after Passover, at the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost is what is one of the three major pilgrim festivals at that time that the Jews held. Passover, Pentecost and Tabernacles. And basically they were harvest festivals. And Pentecost was about the first fruits. The first part of the harvest. As the grain came in, there was a celebration. A major celebration. A pilgrim celebration. The people came to Jerusalem to celebrate. But then it became a life-changing experience for the, no, not 12, because it said all of them. So quite possibly 120 of them. That makes it a big room. But yeah, there were a lot of them in there. And they gathered together. And what happened was, they were filled, or we might say baptized, with the Holy Spirit. And there are three symbols for that. Firstly, there is the symbol of sound, like a blowing wind. Now we all know, we can see the wind, we see the trees move. Of course it can get incredibly powerful sometimes and become hurricanes and bits start falling off roofs and buildings get damaged and other things get damaged. The wind is incredibly powerful. Secondly, there was a symbol of sight. The sight was separated, tongues of flame. And the third was a symbol of speech. Because the people who were gathered there started talking in other languages. None of those three symbols are natural events. Acts 2:2 tells us they came from heaven. They were supernatural events. There was nothing natural about this at all. This was God once again coming into earth. But this time, meeting with the people. The sight and the sound links this event to the giving of the law on Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. Which reads, on the morning of the third day there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. Sound and sight. But yet, what's that to do with the law? Well, Paul speaks about that in Romans 8, where he tells us actually there is a new law in place, a law that is to do with freedom of the Spirit. Therefore, Romans 8 begins, there is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful men to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but live according to the Spirit. The third symbol was the symbol of speech. And this links back to a very famous story in Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. The whole world is one language and a common speech. And as the people moved eastwards, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. And otherwise we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower and the people were building. The Lord said, it is one people speaking the same language. They've begun to do this. Then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel. Because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. And of course, in the event account that we've just read, what happened? Well, all the people who were gathered from the world that was then known, they heard their own language being spoken to them. But what did they say? Who are these people speaking to us? They are Galileans. Thick northerners. They're not supposed to know anything. These people came from the north. And so the reality was that the expectation was these people shouldn't be hearing their languages at all. But yet they did. And it wasn't just about those who were Jews at all. Yes, there were some there that were converts to Judaism, but the last two groups were Cretans and Arabians. They were people who were not even Jews. So this message was going out to the whole world. Back in the First Gulf War, there was a Christian soldier who, as was his usual, got up each morning and had his prayer time. And he was somebody who actually was operating in the ways of the Holy Spirit, and he was speaking in tongues and praying in tongues while he was there in his tent having read his Bible. After a short while, there was a knock on his tent. Well, if you can knock on a tent, but at least, and somebody said hello. And the guy that was outside was a Saudi Arabian soldier, a Muslim. And he said to the soldier, he said, "I didn't know you spoke Arabic." And he said, "I don't." He said, "Well, how come for the last 10 minutes you've been telling me in perfect Arabic how much God loves me?" That's exactly what was going on the day of Pentecost. As the disciples and those who had been touched by the Holy Spirit were actually moved and discovered the love of God for them. Now, of course, the people were there. Acts 2, 12 and 13 says that. They were amazed. They were perplexed. They started asking each other, "What does this mean?" Some of them, of course, being good old human beings, and because we live in a fallen world, wanted to naturalize what this had. So they started making fun of them and said, "Oh, they're drunk." And at that point, Peter then stands up and gives an explanation as to what was going on. He says, "These men were not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." And in fact, it was the tradition at that time anyway that they would have been praying and fasting at the beginning of the day because it was all part of the festival. And Peter then explains that in fact this is linked to the prophecy of Joel. Joel 2, 28 to 32 says, "And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls." Centuries before, the prophet Joel had spoken those words. And the link is made that this is what was the fruition of Jesus' ministry and mission. Jesus himself had told them that he had to go so that the Holy Spirit could come. And as we saw at the start, he had commanded them to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came. And as we read through the rest of the chapter, we discover that Peter goes on to explain the ministry of Jesus. And he links Jesus to David to put it into the correct line for him to be the chosen one of God. Acts 2, 36 and 37 says, "Then therefore let all Israel be assured that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Then when the people heard this, they were cut at the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" They heard the message. There were thousands of them there. What should they do? So far we've looked at the event, we considered an explanation. But what was the effect? What was the effect of what had taken place? Well, the best example of the effect was Peter himself. 50 days before, this was the guy who had actually, as prophesied by Jesus, denied him 3 times as he trailed behind him at the various Jewish trials that Jesus was taken to. He was the person who really was incredibly scared, even though he'd said, no, I'll go to the cross with you. That's not exactly what happened. Peter backed off and he denied Jesus three times. But here we find him on this very day, his life having been touched, that he was now prepared to stand in front of thousands who doubted, thousands who stood before him, and to preach a sermon, making sure everybody understood who this Jesus was and what he had done and why he had come. And at the end of which, in response to the questions, brothers, what should we do? He gave an altar call. He said to them, repent and be baptized. At which point, about 3,000 of them, we are told, repented and were baptized on that day. Some revival. The power of the Spirit moving through Peter. God moving into the world in a big way. Because all of those 3,000 people would then be going back to the various places that they came from. This wasn't about Jerusalem. This was about people from all over the known world. And that's where they went to. We also discover as we read on further in Acts 2 that those who stayed in Jerusalem, who became new followers of the way, as it was called, also had their lives changed quite dramatically. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They shared in the breaking of bread and fellowship. Many signs and wonders were done by the apostles as we read on through the rest of the Acts of the Apostles. The believers themselves shared all things in common. They met together daily. They broke bread in each other's homes. They ate together with glad hearts and sincere hearts. And as a consequence of all of that, the Lord added to their number every single day. More and more people came to join them. John Stott, in his commentary on Acts and his introduction to this particular passage, says, without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship would be inconceivable, even impossible. There can be no life without the life giver. No understanding without the Spirit of truth. No fellowship without the unity of the Spirit. No Christ-likeness of character apart from his fruit. No effective witness without his power. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. So where do we stand today, ladies and gentlemen? Where are we with the Holy Spirit? Are we open to the life-changing opportunity that seeking the Holy Spirit allows? Many people are not. Even in today's, there's still a lot of people out there saying, no, it's not for me. I don't want to know. There are many what are called cessationists out there who would say, actually, that was for then. It's not for now. And that's often because of they haven't experienced it. They don't know the reality of the love of God in their own lives when the Holy Spirit starts to move and starts to bless and starts to encourage and starts to really show how much God truly loves us. Jesus himself said, God wants to give us good things. Really, really good things. He's not there to give us bad things. Is he going to give you a stone if you ask for bread? No, he's not. He's really going to give you the best things that there are. And in the continuing mission that Jesus gave to his disciples and those that came afterwards, the Holy Spirit is a part of that. St. Paul in his letters spends a long time talking about the impact of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, which there are scripturally 21 different listed in 4 different places. 2 lots in Corinthians, 1 in Ephesians, 1 lot in Romans. All sorts of different things that God wants to empower us with and to help us with. He doesn't leave us in this world to do our own thing. He wants to bless us with those. And so, where are we? Are we like Peter before the day of Pentecost? Not quite sure, a bit boastful about it, getting caught up in the possibilities of what it might be, but then no strength, no power to do anything. Or have we asked God to bless us, to fill us with the Holy Spirit, so that we too can start not paying lip service to Jesus, but move in the things of God, move in the power of God, to be a blessing, an encouragement, yes, to one another, but also to everybody else around us. Let us pray. Father God, I just ask that you would indeed, through the power of your Spirit, come down upon your people this day. Move amongst them. Give them a willing spirit within them to actually open up to you and to really seek your face in moving in the things that you have for them, to bless and to encourage, in the power and the glory and the praise of your name. Amen.